Well, good evening. It's good to see you back here again tonight in the house of God, worshiping Him. We are going to be back in John chapter 1, finishing up the chapter. And next week, wherever God leads, I don't have anything planned right now, but wherever God leads, we'll go there. But this is the last part of chapter 1 of John 1, 47 through 51. John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51. And I pray that God has spoken to you through this little series of chapter 1 and the message this morning in the past weeks. I know He has challenged you and has challenged me. And I pray that you have been obedient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do want to thank you for giving us your word this morning, for the opportunity we've had today, this morning, and this evening to worship you. And now as we have come again, gathered in this house, gathered in this place to worship, God, we now turn our attention to the Bible and the teachings that you have for us. And God, we do want to pray that we have a sweet spirit in our lives, that we have that presence that we were singing about just now, that those are not just words, but it is the truth about each one of us, that we have been with you, that we have experienced you, and we have that spirit that you give within our hearts. And I just pray now, God, that as we go through this passage, that you will continue to nurture that spirit within us, that we will grow and become more like you through what you teach us tonight. And we just love you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would give me the words to speak, that whatever is said tonight will come from you, dear Lord, and just give me guidance as I deliver this message. Fill us all now with the Holy Spirit and bless us as we go through the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, 47 through 51. If you will stand, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, thank you. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and his angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May God bless the reading of the word. Thank you, and you may be seated. We look at this passage tonight, continuing again the theme of chapter 1. In a lot of ways, what John, the writer of the gospel, is doing is, well, what any good author would do of a book, introducing us to the main characters, and in particular, the main character. And he has already set up who Christ is, that he is the Word of heaven. He is the existence of all. He is before all, above all, greater than all. He was with God in the beginning. He was God in the beginning. He is God now. He became flesh, dwelt among us, and he was led. His forerunner, his priest predecessor, if you will, was John the Baptist, well-respected, godly man, preacher. Billy Graham, if you would, of his time. Many of you know who Billy Graham is, and the roads he has made in Christianity, and the stamp he has left on Christianity in our time. And John the Baptist would have been the Billy Graham type of his day. People flocked to him, listened to him, were converted because of his preaching. And he gave way to Jesus Christ, who John said was the Lamb of God. And then we studied on, and we found the first two disciples, Andrew and the other disciple that was there with John the Baptist, when John said in verse 36, Behold the Lamb of God. In verse 37, the two disciples went and followed him. One was Andrew, one was another. We believe to be John the disciple, who the writer of this book. Many believe that's who that was. And of course, this morning we talked about, well, then Simon, Andrew went and got his brother Simon, Peter, according to the book of John. And then, of course, this morning we talked about Philip and Nathanael, and how Christ sought out Philip, found Philip, called him, told him to come and follow me. And then Philip went and got his friend Nathanael and said, "We found this man, the Messiah, that you and I have studied together our whole lives." And I believe Philip and Nathanael had a close friend relationship and probably had talked and studied about Messiah for years, and now it had come to fruition. And that kind of brings us where we are tonight, starting in verse 47. Nathanael has encountered Christ. Philip has said, "This is the Messiah." And Jesus, when Philip was bringing Nathanael to Jesus, verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." An Israelite indeed. Now that doesn't mean a whole lot to us, I guess, in our culture. We don't understand really, I guess, exclusively what that would entail for him to be called an Israelite. I guess what we would have to do is compare that to you and I. Someone would say, come up to me and see me come and say, "Behold, an American indeed." Now that may not mean a whole lot either. But if someone said that about me, that, you know, there's an American. You know, the idea of patriot. That's what we think of America. Someone that is faithful to the United States and pledges allegiance to the flag, stands by the flag, doesn't spit on and burn the flag, you know, votes in the elections to exercise his or her voice, hard-working citizen, law-abiding citizen. You know, someone said that about you, that you're an American, you're a true American, that you do the, you know, you live the dream and you live the way that you live what this country was built on. Hard work, dedication, faithfulness, loyalty, things like that. If I were to say to you that's a true American, that's what you would think. You know, someone that serves your country, whether in the military, could be in the military, or if you're not military, they serve in the other ways I mentioned. And I guess we don't say there's a true American, but that's, if we did, that's what it would mean. That's what we would think of as an American person. Someone that does all those things that I mentioned. For an Israelite, though, to say that he was an Israelite indeed, that meant more than just the nationality of who he was. Jesus wasn't saying there's an Israelite. Everybody knew Nathanael was an Israelite. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, here's a man that is a true Israelite. In other words, he studies the laws of God. He was well versed in the Old Testament scriptures, which of course at the time were the only scriptures they had. Believe it or not, there's some that want to believe the Bible's been around for eternity, and you know, I hate to say this, it hasn't been. The New Testament was only brought in at the time of Christ. Obviously, we know that. Old Testament now has been around for, well, whatever millennia. Some would say the world's been around millions of years. I don't know about that. But anyway, the Old Testament's been around for several millennia at least. And so that's what the Israelites studied. That's how they knew the laws of God, was the oral tradition, which really that's what the Old Testament was. You may not know that. The Old Testament was oral. In other words, you had the father. If you ever seen the movie Nativity Story, anybody ever see the movie Nativity Story came out? I think 06 maybe, something like that. I think that's right. If you ever saw that movie, 2006 came out, December of 06. And one of the scenes in that movie, Mary's there with this lady, and the lady's teaching all these children about Elijah, and he says, you know, he wasn't in the storm, he wasn't in the rain, he wasn't in the lightning, whatever, he was in the what, and they all said, still, small voice. That was how the Old Testament was passed along for generations. It was the teaching that the fathers mainly would learn the scriptures and teach their children, and teach them all the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, everything. And that's how it was passed along, was orally. And then it became written. But to be a true Israelite, you knew the scriptures, you understood the scriptures, you learned them. And you didn't just know them, but you lived them. It's like today, if you're an engineer, if you become, for example, a constructional engineer, and I don't know the different types of engineers, but the building engineers, okay, the guys that put up buildings, they're some kind of engineer, I don't know exactly what they're called. But if you study building engineering, then architectural engineering, whatever you call that, then that's how, you know, you're going to apply that to your life. That's the purpose of studying it, is to use it. You know, I went through theology to become a minister, not to become, you know, a doctor. You don't want me performing surgery on you. I couldn't do it anyway. I'd pass out as soon as the blood came, but you don't want me doing that. But then again, I don't know if you want to, and you might want a doctor praying for you besides me. I don't know. But anyway, my point is, when you study, you apply that to your life, and that's what Nathaniel was. He wasn't just someone that knew the law. He lived the law. He obeyed the law. He was a true Israelite. He lived the way God intended an Israelite to live. No, not all of them did. That's what the Pharisees were. You know, the Pharisees, they knew everything about the law of God, but they made their own laws, didn't they? They kind of added their own stuff to the laws of God. To them, it was a ritual. It wasn't worship. To Nathaniel, the laws of God were worship. It's how he lived his life to please and honor God. And that's how God intended the laws to be interpreted. It wasn't there to make you think you're a horrible person. We had to make sacrifices for sins in that time. They had to. But it was to get you to live a righteous and holy life. That's why God said, be holy as I am holy. That was the purpose of the law, to guide them in how to live, not to be legalistic about things. And that's what Jesus taught his entire ministry, that it's about faithfulness and loving God. And that's what Nathanael was. He was a true Israelite. But it's interesting that Jesus, I've already spent 15 minutes on that, not even gotten the first part of my message, so I'll hurry. But for Jesus calling him an Israelite, then he says, in whom there is no guile. In whom there is no guile. Now it's interesting that he uses that phrase, and you got to kind of read down in the verses 351 and understand what is going on here in Nathanael's life, especially if you read verses 50 and 51. You see that about the fig tree in verse 51. It says the angels ascending and descending, of angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you look at that verse 51 here, and you see that statement of God, the angels of God ascending and descending. And it may bring your mind back to an Old Testament story. Do you remember what story I may be referring to? That involved a ladder we talk about all the time, Jacob's ladder. Remember that? He was at Bethel. Jacob was at Bethel, and he had the dream of the angels going up and down the ladder. Well, what people are saying is, what the scholars say about this verse is, when Jesus in verse 47 says, here's a man with no guile, it's believed that Nathanael had been studying the events of Jacob at Bethel, the wrestling with the angel and the demanding of a blessing and the seeing of the angels going up and down and the vision of the ladder. But Nathanael had been studying that at this time when he met Christ. And Christ knew that. Christ knew he had been studying that, because Christ, being God, can see into the thoughts of man. And we know that he can because of other places in the Bible. And I'm not going to go into that. You all believe the Bible, so I don't have to justify it, but Christ can see into the thoughts of man, and knew that Nathanael had been studying about Jacob in Bethel, and knew that that would be on his mind, and he compares Nathanael here to Jacob. Jacob was a man of guile, wasn't he? I mean, let's face it, Jacob stole the birthright of Esau. He tricked his brother into giving him his birthright. And you remember that story, you know, give me some food, and Esau said, I'm hungry, I'm famished. You know, give me some food, give me that pot of stew. And Jacob said, give me your birthright. You said, okay, I will. And he ate a stew, and then he won his birthright back, couldn't get it. You remember the story? He stole his birthright. That's what he did. And then we know he wrestled with the angel and forced him to bless him. And as I said, and he was known, in fact, the name of Jacob is deceiver. He was a deceiver. He was a man of guile. He was that kind. That's who Jacob was. But Nathanael having studied Jacob, and Christ, knowing that, says, here's a true Israelite that has no guile. And it was as if Jesus was affirming him, saying, you've been studying Jacob, but that's not who you are. You are a true Israelite. You are a man of God. You're someone that I want to come and follow me. You see, Christ had the insight into Nathanael's mind. He was able to surmise that Nathan had been studying Jacob, and he knew the person of Jacob, and he knew the person of Nathanael, and knew that Nathanael was a man that did not have guile within him. He recognized that Nathan was a stand-up Israelite, stand-up citizen, a role model for what an Israelite should be. And he found no fault in Nathanael. And I look at this, and I see what Christ says about Nathanael, and of course, what an honor to be said of him, a man with no guile. And this isn't just anybody that's saying it. This is the Savior of mankind, the God in the flesh, the God-man, the true Messiah that's telling Nathanael, you're a man that's a true Israelite. You live the way you're supposed to live. You have no guile in you. Can you imagine for Nathanael to hear that and to realize who this is that's telling him, what that would have meant? I mean, that'd be, there's nothing can compare. There's no person can compare to that. But for Christ to say that to you, wouldn't that mean something to you? For Christ to say, you're the person, you're the kind of person that lives the right way. You're the kind of person that lives the way I want you to live. It's what Christ said to Nathanael. And you got to understand what that could have meant to him. And I guess the first thing tonight I want to get across and comes in the form of a question is, can Christ say that of you? Can Christ say that about you? And I know that Christ is, he has ascended, he sits at the right hand throne of God, so he's living. But if Christ were here in the flesh again, if he lived among us today in the form of the God-man again, the God on earth, and if he saw you coming, could he say about you that there's a true Christian, a man who has no guile, or a woman who has no guile? Could Jesus Christ say that about you? Do you live your life in faithfulness to God? Do you live your life in honor to God that he would give that compliment to you? Now, only you and God can answer that question, but I think it's one that we've got to think about. One we need to contemplate. Do I live a life free of guile? Do I live a life of a true Christian, the way that God intends me to live? Ask yourself that question. Could Christ have said the same thing to me that he said to Nathanael? That here's a true Christian in whom there is no guile. Man or woman, no matter who you are, could Christ say that of you? And I'm just going to leave that with you and go on to the next point. And then we get on to this next part, and we look at what Jesus says, and he said, you know, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Where is it that you know me? I've never met you before. I don't know anything about you. Because Christ has just said all these things, and Nathanael's not stupid. He really, this guy just read my mind, basically. You know, it's like he's known me my whole life. How do you know who I am? And Jesus said, before Philip called you, Before your friend Philip even went and got you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on in this verse as well. Again, it's the idea that Christ knew Nathanael, knew him before he even met him, knew him before Philip ever brought him to him. But we kind of covered all that in the last point. But here, I guess there's a lot that you can get out of this, but what I want to go to is where he says, I saw you under the fig tree. And before Philip calls you, I saw you under the fig tree. I knew you under the fig tree. And here's what that means. Because you and I, we have no idea. I don't even know what a fig tree is. I think, apparently I have a pecan tree in my backyard. That's what Kenneth Moore told me. And he said something about I need to trim it a couple years ago. Never have. But anyway, I don't know what a pecan tree is. I know what a grapevine is. There's one of those in the backyard. It's that thing that's wrapped around all those logs. And, you know, but I couldn't tell you. If I saw a fig tree, if there was a fig tree that had a t-shirt on that said, I am a fig tree, I wouldn't know it was a fig tree. I don't know what they look like. And not only that, even if you did know, you'd have no idea what this means. I saw you under the fig tree. I mean, what difference does that make? So he saw him under a fig tree. That makes no difference to us, does it? And it's something we don't understand. What that means is that's an old rabbinical saying. It's something that rabbis would say. Let me put it that way. Okay, I don't know what the word there is. Rabbinic saying, but it, rabbis at that time, of course, rabbis being the teachers of the law, like Jesus, he was a rabbi, and it was a phrase that they would use. I saw you under the fig tree. It was a phrase they would use to denote someone who was a student of the law. Now, it kind of all goes back to their culture. It's the idea, you know, I think if what I remember from educational background, that it kind of goes back to like today. You know, if you're a student today and you are really a good student, you study a lot, you know, someone can say, you know, I see you in the library all the time. It kind of be that kind of thing. Where you go to study. And back then, it wasn't uncommon for disciples and their teachers to meet under a fig tree and to study the law together. And for someone individually to study the law and to go sit under a fig tree to do it. So to have that designation of studying the fig tree, what Christ is saying is, I knew you back when you were studying the law, when you were a student of the law, when you were taking it in, when you were learning it in. And it's not just the idea of knowing the law, but it's diligent studying. And what Christ is saying is, you're not just, I want to make a C to get out of high school studier, but you are, the old D for diploma type student. That's not what Philip or Nathanael was. He was a nerdy A student type of person, like me. He was like me. He studied. He wanted to know what the Bible spoke. It was diligent studying. It was deep studying, absorbing, taking in what the Bible taught. And that was the kind of person that Nathanael was. I keep calling him Nathan because that's what I put in my outline. It's just easier. But so if I say Nathan, I mean Nathanael. But that's who Nathanael was. He was a student of the Old Testament law. He knew what he knew the Bible, which the Bible of course didn't exist then, but he knew the Old Testament. He knew God's law. He studied it thoroughly. He knew who Christ was from prophecy, from the Messiah, the preaching of the Messiah, the teachings of the Old Testament prophets for the generations, centuries. He knew who he was. He was ready to obey and follow when he found the Messiah. If the Messiah came in his lifetime, of course he did. He's talking to him right now. But that's who Nathanael was. He was a great student of the law. And while he was studying, Christ knew him. Christ could see. Christ knew that he was the kind of person that was dedicated, devoted, and willing to follow, ready to follow. I mean, there's just what some guy on the street, Jesus said, let's come on and come after me. There's somebody that was ready to go after the Messiah, ready to be on board with that team. He was prepared for it. And Christ knew that. And then that brings us to another question. Do we obey? Do we study the way Christ would have us to? Are we prepared to follow Christ? Because we do have to know the Bible, don't we? We got to know what the Bible teaches, how to live our lives, how to live according to God's will and purpose. We've got to learn that. We've got to know that. Do we study in such a way that we know the Bible, that we know God's will, that we know how to live the perfect holy life as best we can that Christ would have us to live? And so that question then comes, am I a student of the law like Nathanael was? Do I obey the law? Do I study the law? Am I prepared to be the Christian that God wants me to be? You know, it's the whole idea that Peter talks about in the book of 1 Peter, I believe. That, you know, a baby doesn't always drink milk. You know, even Emily's already eating those sweet potato things that Pam was telling me about tonight. You know, some kind of sweet potato puffs or whatever. It looks like cereal to me. But anyway, even she's not only on milk anymore. You know, eventually she's going to be eating steak and corn and a little bit of it. Now, she'll have to keep her figure. But she'll be eating non-milk. You know, she'll drink milk, but she'll have other things to eat. And like, well, we don't, unless she has, you know, problem with milk. You know, some people can't drink milk. But you know what I mean. You know what my point is. Eventually she's going to grow, and Hayden, he's already eating French fries and chicken nuggets. I mean, we don't drink milk our whole lives, do we? Eventually we do grow up and eat other things. Well, it's no different for the Bible. It's what Peter told us. It's no different in the Bible. If you never study the Bible, never know what God wants you to do, never know what God expects of you, then you're just a fat little baby drinking milk. In fact, Amy Grant, know who she is? She had a song called Fat Little Baby. You know, why, he wants his bottle. It was the idea that it's some guy goes to church every Sunday but don't know anything about God. He's there every time the doors are open. You know, he'll do everything in the church, but he doesn't know anything about God, has no relationship, doesn't study. He's just drinking milk. He's an 80-year-old man in diapers drinking milk because he doesn't study the Bible. He doesn't know God's will, and he stays that way. If you're going to grow in Christ, you got to move to meat. You got to grow up. And the only way you do that in Christ is to know God's will, to study God's will, to listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the teachers and Sunday school and whatever it may be in church. Grow in Him. And that's what Nathanael was. Nathanael was not a fat little baby. Nathanael was mature. Nathanael had grown. He was ready. He was hungry for more. And Christ offered that more. Christ offered that opportunity to be on a part of His ministry. And Nathanael was ready, and the question is, are we ready? Are we studied? Are we learning what we need to learn that we can be the Christians that God calls us to be? But then finally, we move to the last part of this passage, when Nathanael makes a declaration that has been made already before in some ways. But he says in verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." There was no doubt in the mind of Nathanael, there was no question in the mind of Nathanael that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Chosen One, the King of Israel. That this was the man that was going to lead them. This was the man that was going to save them. This was the man that they had studied, that he had studied for his whole life and those before him. That the Messiah was in his lifetime. And not only was he in his lifetime, but he had an opportunity to serve with him for the 3 years that Christ had his ministry. This was the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And Nathanael realized that immediately. But Christ goes on and tells him, do you believe me now because I said I saw you studying before I ever knew who you were? You believe me because I can read your mind, I know about you, and I've never met you? Do you believe because of that uncanny insight that I have? Is that why you believe? Because I'm going to tell you this, if you think that's what you believe, you're going to see even greater things than that. And then he tells him about the angels of God ascending and descending on the up into heaven and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which is another title given to Christ. And that goes back to what Jacob saw, that vision, and that would have been fresh in the mind of Nathanael. And Christ is saying, you're going to be like Jacob. You're going to see things that you think this is astounding, that I know all this about you and never met you. Wait till you see what's going to come. And we know he did, didn't he? We know Nathanael did see things that were just unbelievable. He saw, John, the book of John tells us at the end of the book, and the end of this gospel in chapter 21, remember it says, John says, one of the last verses of this whole book, what does he say? There aren't books in the world that could write down the miracles, the things that Christ did. You couldn't put them in all the books of the world. It would just be too many. And Nathanael saw all that, the feeding of the 5,000, the turning water into wine, the healing of the centurion's servant, the resurrection of Lazarus. He saw all those miracles. And the Bible says at some points that he just went around healing people. He did so much that John couldn't even name it. He just said, I'm not going to get, what do you call that when you ride all the time? Huh? Well, no, I'm not going to get carpal tunnel writing all this down. I'm just going to say, he healed a bunch of people. Because there's just too many people to write, too many things to write, and Nathanael saw it all. And how great it was to see those miracles, but then above all that, he saw the resurrection of Christ. He saw Christ die, and he saw Christ resurrect and live again, physically resurrect and live again, in the flesh. Touch that nail scar in hand, put his hand in that side, and I know that says Thomas did, but I'm sure Nathanael did too at some point. But he saw the resurrection of Christ far greater than any other miracle that he had performed. And then he saw Christ ascend into heaven. So Nathanael did see greater things than just Christ knows all this about me, never met him. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. He was a part of the glory of Christ. Nathanael was a part of the glory of Christ. And that begs the next question, are we a part of the glory of Christ? Are we a part of that ministry? Do we know Christ in that way? Are we living in the ministry that Christ still has and performs through you and I as believers? Are we a part of that? Are we glorifying Him? Are we seeing the glory come to Him? Not to us, not to ourselves, but to Him. Is glory being brought to God because of you? Are people glorifying God because of you? Are you a part of that? Are you bringing about that glory to God because of the way you live and the way you worship and the way you are, that others see that and they glorify God as well? Are you a part of the glory of Christ? Not are you being glorified, but are you bringing glory to God with your life and the way you do things? For Nathanael it was, and he realized that Christ is the Son of God, the King of Israel, and he was and still is today. You've been challenged tonight. We've been challenged tonight. That we wonder, can Christ say of me that I have no guile, that I am the Christian that God wants me to be? I'm the person that I need to be. Do I study and become and prepare to be the person that God can use and mold and to make into what He wants? Am I being a part of that glory and bringing glory to Christ in my life and realizing that He is the Son of God? He is the King of Kings. What has God spoken to you tonight about the hymn invitation tonight is number 255. I don't know what God has revealed to you. I don't know what He has spoken to you, but I know that He wants to do a great work in every life here tonight. And we need to be obedient to that. Let's pray together. Father, as we tithe this time invitation now, God, what a challenge You've put on us. Can it be said of me that I have no guile? Can it be said of me that I'm the Christian You want me to be? Do I study and learn and know of You the way I am to know so I can live my life the way You intend? Do I bring glory to You with my life? Do I understand that You're the Son of God, that You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, greater than me and greater than anything else? Do I live my life in that belief? God, I pray that You challenge me and challenge everyone here tonight. May we search our hearts. May You search our hearts and test us and show us, Lord, what it is we need to do. We just pray now that You bless this time of invitation and bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.